It's time now for KJN's Heartbeat Today, daily program focusing on the people, places, and events that make the Nishna Valley a special place. Today's edition of Heartbeat Today is brought to you by Camblin Plumbing and Heating in downtown Atlantic. And here at this morning's program is your host, Jim Field.
Hi, Chris. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Well, no worse for the wear, but can't say that for everybody.
That's true.
Tough weekend. Yikes. We'll visit about that here in a little bit. First, though, we want to turn things over to Brett Holtz, who's in with us this morning. He'd like to tell us today about Camblin Plumbing and Heating. Brett, good morning.
Good morning. If you're looking into a bathroom or kitchen remodel, you would really enjoy seeing the new innovations available from Kohler and Sterling. These two manufacturers are constantly showing new styles and finishes, both in fixtures and faucets. No other manufacturer can offer the broad assortment that they do, and no other manufacturer offers the color spectrum they do. Camblin Plumbing and Heating offers these two top lines all at discount prices every day. We can help you in your selection process and, of course, install with a professionalism and efficiency. Give us a call in Atlantic at 243-1512 or in Harlan at 755-3286.
Thank you, Brett. Gee, how was your weekend?
A lot better than some people's.
Yeah, probably spent a lot of time watching some of the news coverage.
And oh, yeah.
What have you, too. The Weather Channel got an absolute lesson on Iowa geography over the weekend. It seemed like they had about half of their reporters up here in the state of Iowa and, of course, in Kansas and parts of Oklahoma as well. Did you follow the storm coverage over the weekend? It was fairly dramatic and a little too close for comfort in some cases over the weekend, too. How'd you like to be in Woodward, Oklahoma? They got hit twice last week with tornadoes. Once early in the week and then once again over the weekend. You know, sometimes you wake up and look at the mirror and wonder, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even get a chance to really kind of clean up and get organized again. And all of a sudden, you know, you're having to deal with the same thing all over again. You'd think you'd get a little skittish. I heard watched someone on the Weather Channel interviewing a guy from Woodward, Oklahoma, and he said that was it. It's time to move. It was funny. Enjoyed living there, but it's time to move. I can understand the sentiments once in a while when you see stuff like that. Some of the pictures and things, I had a friend of mine, an old college roommate, actually on Facebook that had posted some pictures that were taken down in Creston. Pretty dramatic pictures of the community college and the hospital and some of that area around near the community college. There's some apartment complexes and some different things there that were damaged. And it's, you know, it's always a little sobering to think about how much it takes to do some of that damage. You know, when you watch a tornado from a distance, you know, you see that funnel and what have you. But when you're actually, you know, in one, it's not like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. You don't see all these swirls around you and things. It's just an incredible force that's taking hold. And it's amazing to see what it takes to actually do the kind of damage. You know, remember we were all little kids and playing with maybe matchbox cars or whatever. And if we wanted the car to be over here instead of over there, we didn't have to roll it around. We could just pick it up and move it. And sometimes we'd drop it and it'd end up on its top. Well, that's because we were doing that. We're so much bigger, and we're able to, you know. Well, now imagine the tornado doing that. Imagine taking a look at the hospital parking lot and seeing cars all banged around here and there, some of them flipped over on their tops. What's it take to do that? You know, it's just, it's a big force that's out there, and it happens so very quickly. You know, watching some of the video over the weekend on TV that was submitted to the Weather Channel. Spent a lot of time watching the Weather Channel over the weekend. Spent a lot of time watching some of the things in the aftermath. But some of the video that they had, there was one gentleman who was taking some video. You know, these storm chasers, sometimes you wonder where their heads are. I mean, I know they're more trained than a lot of the rest of us, but still, sometimes you wonder if they just absolutely are running on adrenaline and no smarts, because it seems like sometimes they're just running right into trouble. But, you know, watch some video that I swear he was inside the tornado and just still driving toward it. And there's a building that you're just watching come apart and the pieces just start swirling around through the air. And, You know, so many times they talk about it's not so much in a storm like that. You know, what kills and injures people isn't so much, you know, getting whipped up in a tornado. It's getting hit by the debris that's flying all over creation when that kind of stuff happens. And, you know, you see some of this video, some of these people doing that, and you hear the audio because they're holding up those cameras. You know, you can hear the audio in the background, what they're saying. It's like, wow, look at that, look at that. When what they should be saying is, holy smokes, what are we going to do now? take some cover someplace. But there are some pretty interesting things out there, too. Of course, I'm sure by now you've heard all about the communities of, say, for example, Thurman here in southwest Iowa, in Fremont County, that, got pretty much leveled over the weekend in those Saturday storms. They're going to have to do some pretty dramatic cleanup, and those are very, very old houses in many cases, houses in some cases dating back into the 1800s that were largely destroyed or just damaged to the point where it's just not worth going back in. It's going to be a lot of head scratching wondering if it's even worth rebuilding or fit repairing at those points, but no injuries. Amazing, there were no injuries there. And then you go over to it, but they did have the sirens go off. They were saying that the sirens went off, and that really did help. Folks took it seriously and took cover. Then on the other hand, you head over to Creston, and from what we understand, there were some problems with the sirens in the Creston area, that possibly some lightning issues or something, maybe knock some of those out, but some problems there, and quite a bit of damage there to the hospital and Southwestern Community College and some of that area around there. So lots of things happening there, too. And I was looking, Rick posted something on our news page at KJAN.com that I happened to see that was, I found pretty interesting. The National Weather Service released their storm survey results from Creston. And Rick posted this up on Sunday. It's not much of a story. There's just basically a link there. But if you go and click on that link to that particular story, under that story heading, and you open that up, what you'll find is what the Weather Service actually put together in tracking that storm. It's got the overhead view, and it's got the basically it's got a little description, and then the storm track, the track that tornado took as it was starting, you know, west of Creston and moving up and going through the northwest part of the community and then continuing up toward the northeast. Very interesting to see the tornado path and the entire description that they put down as well. Also, they focus in on the northwest part of the city of Creston, too. So you can kind of see where some of the heavier damage was from up above, and then you can see the track that tornado took also. And then they've got some other images as well relative to some of the storm velocity and what have you. They can pinpoint right where the tornado is, even though it looks quite pixelized. They can show you right where it is. And then they've got their survey results, too, relating to the damage and some of the photos that the National Weather Service has posted there as well, and some of the things that they're looking at. It's quite a process when they have to go through and survey the damage afterward and kind of figure out how and where everything happened. And it's a pretty interesting little story that they tell. It's amazing that they can do that so quickly. But they'll put all that stuff up. They said there was quite a bit of hail in that area along with that. EF2 damage to the far northwest corner of Creston. There was some the tornado formed about a mile and a half east of Cromwell just before 7 o'clock, and then it said quickly tracked into the northwest portion of Creston around 7 o'clock. And the EF2 damage occurring to the Greater Regional Medical Center and Southwestern Community College campus. And then the tornado continued to track to the northeast, damaging several farmsteads northeast of Creston before it finally dissipated about 10 miles northeast of town. And all that happened in about a 20-minute period. It does zip through relatively quickly, but it can leave an awful lot in its path. You know, some of the other damage that we talked about, like Woodward, Oklahoma, and some of those places. I was also interested to watch some of the other things going on, too. You know, we all have relatives all over the place anymore. Folks don't just live in one location. They're spread out. And I have a brother who lives in Wichita, Kansas, and I spent a little bit of time with him on the phone over the weekend, too, and watching some of those things. He said that there were like 8 tornadoes or something in the Wichita, in the greater Wichita area, metropolitan area, on Saturday. And I was asking him if anything was, you know, very close to him. He said, yeah, he said there was one tornado hit about 3 miles from our house. And he said it just kind of like that. And I'm thinking, 3 miles from my house is way too close for me to be that calm. I'd be saying that with a whole in a whole different manner. But He said they, you know, they had to go down to the lower room, and they had a spare mattress that they keep down there too, because, you know, Wichita's right in the middle of, you know, it's tornado territory. So he said, yeah, they went downstairs and they huddled underneath a mattress and stuff and hope for the best. He said, yes, indeed, it does sound like a freight train coming. he could hear it from where he was, but he said, yeah, there was quite a bit of damage. And it did damage there, too, to a couple of very large aerospace factories, and also some damage there to an Air Force base in Wichita as well. So there was quite a bit of damage in some of those different locations and things, too. Do you see a pattern forming? It seems like this might be one of those seasons. Just guessing. Back in, what was it, February, very early March, we saw tornadoes in Indiana. We saw tornadoes did damage down in Branson, Missouri. We saw some early tornado stuff there as the weather started to turn very nice very quickly this spring. And then all of a sudden we see this big outbreak of storms here over the weekend as well. Kind of start to wonder if there's some sort of a pattern forming here that we might see a more active than normal season for tornadoes. I didn't see a final number, but I know it was over 100 over the weekend of touchdown notices, like 140 or something like that. I don't remember the exact number, but there were a lot of tornado touchdowns reported over the weekend. Awful lot of them. Way too many and way too close in some cases. So, once again, we talk about this early in the season as we get ready for the start of what we consider to be the severe summer weather season. You know, if you haven't really given a whole lot of thought to what you would do, where you might be when these types of things come up, there are a few good examples why you should. Because you just never know, and you just don't have the time. I mean, you always think you're going to have the time, but you really don't. All you need to do is ask those folks in Thurman and Creston and, well, Woodward, Oklahoma. You know, just about the time you think you're out of damage, you're out of damage, out of damage's way, all of a sudden it happens again twice in a week. So, you know, you just never know for sure. And as I say, without giving it some prior thought, you just don't know how quickly these things can happen until you experience them.
Well, it's kind of scary to think you see some of the pictures of the damage from, you know, these storms here in our area. And these are storms that have been considered EF2 and 130 miles per hour, and it can get an awful lot worse than that. So you know how much worse it could probably look after something like that.
Yeah. Think about an EF5 now,
yeah.
At the top of the scale. Lots and lots of stuff can happen in a very, very quick hurry. So give it some good, solid thought, and take those warnings very seriously when we do get them. You know, it's kind of like winter driving sometimes. We often joke the first snowfall of the winter, how bad of drivers we've all become. You know, we all think we can go 10 miles an hour faster than the road conditions allow us, and then we have more accidents than normal because we forgot how to drive in snow that first time we get snow. You know, sometimes early tornado season, too, we just kind of take things for granted. It'll happen someplace else. We really don't have to worry too much about it. But then it does happen somewhere close to home, or, you know, even in my case, Wichita, Kansas isn't close to home physically, but it's close to home because I have a loved one there. So, you know, it's one of those issues where, you know, it starts to kind of get your attention a little bit. So think about it, put some thought into it, and make sure you're prepared when that time comes, and do take all those warnings very seriously. Whew. That's a lot. That was an awful lot to watch. Goodness gracious, there was a lot of stuff to deal with. I'll turn things back over to Brett. He'd like to tell you more this morning about Camblin Plumbing and Heating. Brett?
Camblin Plumbing and Heating is 94 years old. Camblin Plumbing and Heating has been with Lennox for 69 years. With that kind of longevity, you can be sure of the quality we represent, you can be sure of the warranty situations, and you can be sure of the expertise of our installers and repairmen with all of our schooling and continuity with one manufacturer of heating and cooling products. You can be sure of us carrying most parts that might be necessary to repair any Lennox furnace. You can be sure of the value of what you buy and its longevity. Give us a call in Atlantic at 243-1512 or in Harlan at 755-3286. The thought of the day today is author unknown, but it says, do what you are expected to do and you will survive. Do more than you are expected to do and you will thrive.
I knew you were going there. All right. Very good. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate that very much. Hey, you go out and make it a great day, and God bless America.